Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Albin Hears. Father Peter is the founder of Uncut Mountain Press and the rector of the parish of the Holy Prophet Elias in a small village in the mountains outside of Thessalonica, Greece. In this podcast, Father Peter shares with us his 10 years of experience of living the faith and serving the church in Greece. Here's Father Peter.
It has been said that the purpose of the Church of Christ is to produce holy relics. This truth at once points to the immanence and the transcendence of God, to the immediacy of His presence in this world, in our very bodies, and the transcending of death and encounter with the world to come. It also indicates that the whole man, body and soul, is sanctified and deified. For the Church exists to heal the human person, to make every person a God after God, a God by God's grace. This is a startling and logic-shattering statement, and yet it is not made without hard, fast proof. God has left us, even us last Christians, with a host of witnesses to the reality of His incarnation, to the reality of His deifying presence in His Church. It is one of the great marvels of Orthodox Greece today, and clearest signs of God's presence among us, that 2 years ago the holy remains of a humble servant of God were found remarkably incorrupt. I am speaking of the uncovering of the incorrupt relics of the elder Vissarion of the holy monastery of Agathon outside of Lamia, Greece, which took place on March 1, 2006. Elder Vissarion was little known beyond Lamia, but well known to a host of the faithful there whom he nurtured and cared for spiritually. He was hidden from the worldly man's eye. One of Greece's many discreet but holy servants of God and evangelical laborers in the vineyard of Christ. He was hidden, and hid himself intentionally, from the uninitiated, and yet God chose to reveal him in his time in a most remarkable and instructive way. And how God has a way of speaking to man. The day upon which Elder Vissarion's relics were revealed to the world happened, providentially, to also be the day on which the Greek Parliament voted to allow the cremation of non-Orthodox. There could hardly be a more poignant, yet humble and discreet response on the part of God to this most unfortunate decision. But this is nothing new for Orthodox Christians in Greece or anywhere. Elder Vissarion joins a list of other saints whose bodies remained incorrupt after their repose. On the island of Corfu, or Kerkera, there resides the incorrupt body of Saint Spyridon, a 4th-century bishop from Cyprus and confessor of the faith at the First Ecumenical Council. On the island of Kephallonia, there rests the incorrupt body of Saint Gerasimos, who has rested there for over 500 years and is enshrined in a standing position. The same applies to the incorrupt body of St. Dionysios on the island of Zakynthos. On the holy mountain of Athos, among many other incorrupt or partially incorrupt relics, one can also venerate the incorrupt left ear of St. John Chrysostom, who lived in the 4th century after Christ. It is in this ear, the fathers there relate, that the holy apostle Paul was seen speaking by the great hierarch's disciple. Outside of Greece, one can also encounter such proofs of the Incarnation. In the Kiev Caves Lavra in the Ukraine, there rests a host of incorrupt bodies of fathers who shone in the ascetic life there. And in America's own San Francisco, the incorrupt body of the miracle-working hierarch St. John of Shanghai in San Francisco can be viewed and venerated at the Geary Street Cathedral. With such a host of witnesses to and proofs of the resurrection, it is simply unthinkable for Orthodox Christians to ever consent to the practice of cremation. Indeed, with this issue, as with so many others, again the Orthodox stand alone, reminding the once Christian West of the faith and practice it held. For nearly two millennia, the Christian West rejected cremation. It was just around 150 years ago that unbelievers and atheists in the West resurrected the detestable practice. And yet, already in 1963, the Vatican allowed for it, with many more Protestants following suit. Such that today, many of those being cremated identify themselves as Christians. How important it is, then, for Orthodox Christians to know and remain committed to the traditional funeral and burial of the reposed. That means, of course, prohibiting cremation, but also to do whatever they can to avoid embalming, to leave the casket open and bury the reposed promptly, to follow the typikon of the Church, to say the Trisagion prayers at the house, the grave, on the first, third, ninth, and 40th day, and to hold yearly memorial services, and for the family to have the repose commemorated in the proscomiti, if not for 40 days straight in a 40-day liturgy, then as often as possible, especially in the beginning. As with so much today, it is necessary for the Orthodox to withstand the onslaught of apostasy on this point as well. This cannot be considered a secondary matter, but rather a matter of confessing that man is created in the image and likeness of God, a matter of confessing our faith in the Incarnation, a matter of warring against the demonic desire to blot out the image of God in man, and a matter of declaring the sanctity, the deification of the body along with the soul. In following the traditional burial practice of the Church, we are also picking up our cross and following the Crucified One through Hades and on to the resurrection, for we are confessing that this body is holy, and this body will rise again. What a blessing it would be if more faithful would follow the way the monastics bury their own, which illustrates their fearlessness before death, but not forgetfulness of death. The opposite extreme stance of that taken by more and more people today, who do all to avoid even thinking about death. At a monastic burial, a joyful sadness rules the atmosphere. One can hear the Jesus prayer on the lips of all on behalf of the reposed. The monk's body is wrapped in his cassock, a cross is sewn into the cloth, and then it is laid into a simple wooden casket, to be carried to church and to the tomb. All is done with prayer, serenity, a quiet peace and confidence in the reality of the resurrection. Death is encountered not as the end, but as a new beginning, the beginning of the eighth day, which has no end, the day of the resurrection. Of a truth, the body of every fighting Christian who opens the seal of death is holy, is set apart, is a member of the body of Christ. And every member of the body is a holy relic. Insomuch as the faithful adhere to the Church's admonitions, the Church will be accomplishing her mission of producing holy relics. This will, then, be the greatest, most effective, even if not attention-getting, homily the Church can preach on the matter of cremation. It is likely that the Church will not convert many on this issue, but will rather stand as a sign of contradiction to the world and to the worldly. So be it. Let any who would be faithful visit and venerate the holy and incorrupt relics of the God-pleasers and pledges of the resurrection, and let them take courage, both in their struggle to honor the image and images of God, and their struggle to become themselves holy relics. Until we speak again, may our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, through the intercessions of the great Apostle Paul, the great martyr Demetrius, and the holy hierarch Gregory the Wonderworker of Thessaloniki, have mercy on us and save us.
You've been listening to Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Albin Hears, founder of Uncut Mountain Press and rector of the Parish of the Holy Prophet Elias in the mountains outside of Thessalonica, Greece. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.